This is Living the RV Dream with Traveling Robert, episode 7 for May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, and happy Cinco de Mayo. I do believe Cinco de Mayo is kind of a bogus holiday, if you get my meaning. I don't even think it's celebrated in Mexico, but who doesn't need an excuse to have some tequila or some margaritas or... Anyways, I digress. I am Robert Morales, your host, wandering the back roads of Florida and the rest of the U.S. with our Winnebago Micro Mini Travel Trailer. And this... is the podcast for all our viewers, for all of us, whether you are traveling on a 45-foot long diesel pusher or a pop-up camper, whether you are a full-timer or a part-timer or a weekender vacationer, you know, weekend warrior like us, or a dreamer like many of you who are still on that stage in which you are still deciding which RV to get, very exciting, and what kind of rig is right for you. And to be honest about it, there's really no right answer to that question. We all have different travel styles, different priorities, so... If you can hear me well, that is because today I am coming to you from my studio here in East Flagami, just west of Little Havana, in Miami, Florida. No more experimenting with mobile recording or using my phone for now, you know, pushing the envelope in any way, until I have to do it. That is, at some point I'm going to be at a place that I'm going to have to use whatever is available to me, and I'll make it sound as good as I can. Today we are going to continue where we left off in the previous episode. We were talking about the Dalton Highway in Alaska. And even though I mentioned that it may not be suitable for every RV, I still think it is a fascinating journey. And even if your RV is not up to the task, just leave it in Fairbanks and rent that 4x4 so you can experience this unique road. This is a once-in-a-lifetime trip. First of all, a little bit of news here of the community. If you follow my YouTube channel, you know I recently changed the email providers. So those of you subscribed to my weekly newsletter, you probably received an email to confirm that you still want to continue receiving the newsletter. And that was a requirement of the new providers, and, you know, so I don't spam people, I guess. So if you want to keep receiving news from me, do click on that link to confirm. Also, if you have never subscribed, just go to travelingrobert.com and scroll down a little bit and you'll find the form right there. And all you have to enter is your name and your address. And you know, I'm not gonna spam you. I'll just send you like a weekly email whenever I upload a video to YouTube or a new podcast episode or a blog post. So it'll hardly ever be more than once a week. So there you go. I usually publish everything on Friday mornings, so you'll have some entertainment for the weekend. Talking about the weekend, as you listen to this, I am probably enjoying the weekend at John Pennekamp State Park in Key Largo in the Florida Keys. As you know, I'm going to tell you all about that in the future, probably in the next episode. I plan to take the snorkeling tour, weather permitting, and we also plan to do some kayaking along the mangroves, and maybe we'll even do the glass bottom boat tour. I'm really looking forward to all that. Whew, I think I've had too much Cuban coffee. The thing, I'm recording this actually on Monday night, but I'm expecting a couple of people to come by home because I'm actually starting to declutter, to sell all these things that I have here in my closet that I haven't used in over 10 years. Like, you know, I'm a musician, so I have old keyboards and old, you know, tape decks. And I'm also in the process of digitizing old cassettes. You know, remember cassettes? Yes, some not stuff like Lionel Richie all night long, you know, not like the hits, but stuff that I did myself that never really went mainstream, and I have to digitize all that good stuff, all that historic recordings that I have. Yeah, everything to downsize, so when the time comes to full time, we're gonna be ready. Also, if you are subscribed to the YouTube channel, this week's video is going to be about the Kissimmee Prairie Preserve State Park, which is just north of Okeechobee, Florida. Very, very cool place. Lots of wildlife, even though there wasn't as much because it is kind of hot and they don't like this hot weather. And it kind of looks like a drier version of Shark Valley, if you saw that video, if you've been there. But we had a great time. We even met up with some viewers of the YouTube channel. Very nice. Now for the email and feedback. Carl commented on the previous episode, the Dalton Highway Part 1. That's awesome how you get to travel places. Love the trip. I finally got to Brickell area, stayed at the Conrad, but service was very bad. Well, the Conrad, that's a hotel in the Brickell area, you know, the area where I work. Here in Miami, it's like the financial district. Anyways, I continue. Love South Beach and the Keys, which we waited 6 hours for the shuttle. LOL, learn a lesson, rent a car next time. Anyhow, loved your city and will visit again. Also, we went to El Mesón de Pepe. Boy, love the food and service was awesome. It was my daughter's birthday and the waiter brought her a little cupcake free of charge and sang to her. Our best experience there, we stayed at the real nice place, private, rich, nice place, private beach. Just loved it. Thank you for all your videos and suggestions. We love every trip you do. It's like we were there with you again. Thank you and have a wonderful day. And it is comments like this one just brighten your day and give me the impulse and the validation to continue doing this, really. Being able to change your experience to make your vacation better. It's one of the reasons why I do my YouTube channel and the podcast, because of comments like this. And by the way, the El Mesón de Pepe, that's one of my favorite places in Key West, and they are not a sponsor. Actually, I don't have any sponsors in the podcast yet, but that's a very nice place, especially the bar outside. They have like a semi-live band. And if you catch it at sunset time, it's right there on Mallory Square on the outdoor bar, and they have the best mojitos in town, just because I say it. Anyways, remember, you can get in touch with me, with the show at robert@travelingrobert.com, or by sending a voice message on the top right corner on the website. Actually, if you're on mobile, it's kind of like in the middle. Just click on that send voice message button. And that's going to open SpeakPipe and you can send me a message that way, up to 90 seconds so that I can play it here on the podcast. And so remember, your message might be played on the air. It probably will, because right now we don't have too many. The show notes for this program reside at travelingrobert.com/podcast/0007, because this is episode number 7. Lucky number 7. And remember, the Living the RV Dream is being syndicated on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, also known as WRVO Radio Network 1. So head over there and check them out. They have shows about fishing, hiking, camping, boating, kayaking, the motorcycle, lifestyle, everything outdoors, and of course, RVing. I'll put a link in the show notes to them. Anyways, in the previous episode, we were talking about the Dalton Highway in Alaska, and we left off more or less at the halfway point. To make a long story short here, I'm going to give you the quick version of part one. You depart from Fairbanks, cross the Yukon River, definitely fill up the tank there by the Yukon River. Then you will see Finger Mountain to the right, the Arctic Circle also to the right, lots of hills and beautiful landscape, and then you will arrive at the world's northernmost truck stop, which is called Coldfoot, Alaska. You know, it's a small... used to be a small mining town, and there's still a few permanent residents there, but it's basically just the truck stop. There's a hotel, a restaurant. Supposedly, they have RV hookups, and of course, the gas station. Needless to say, do put gas here before attempting to continue north, because there won't be a gas station or anything really service-wise for the next 240 miles. North of here is the most isolated part of this already isolated road. But I think if you have a capable RV and the tow vehicle, you still can venture a little north of here. I forgot to mention, but they have an excellent visitors center right across the highway that I fully recommend you visit. Very, very helpful rangers. Lots of information about the area, about the Arctic. And as far as the RV hookups, that is, RVing was still not in the radar at the time that we visited. It kind of was, but not really. So we didn't check out how they were, how many amps, or if there was a dump station. We didn't really check any of that at the time. This was a few years back. North of here, you will also find a lot of construction, usually. And sometimes they even close the highway, and you have to wait for a pilot car that takes you through because of the road conditions, and they know where you can go and where you cannot. Just 5 miles north of here, of Coldfoot, you will find the Marion Creek campground. By the way, fun little fact, apparently Marion was a prostitute. During the gold rush, the miners would name rivers and creeks after their favorite prostitute. Not sure if that's fake news or alternative facts or urban legend, but that's what I heard. And it's a good story, so I'm sticking to it. Anyways, this is the place where I would recommend you park your RV and use your tow vehicle to continue north, especially if you have a large, heavy, or, you know, low-clearance RV, you know, close to the ground. The road up to now has been challenging, but very manageable. Pretty much any RV could get up here. The rest of the way, however, is not for the faint of heart. North of Marion Creek, we start seeing much more mountainous terrain. Yeah, hills up and down. You're going to go up and down a lot. But before we dive deep into the Brooks Range, which is the name of this mountain range here in northern Alaska, which is also the Continental Divide, I suggest we make a stop at the Arctic village of Wiseman at mile marker 189. This was a mining village during the gold rush, and nowadays only a handful of people live here permanently, and they are completely self-sustained, off the grid. The electricity comes from solar in the summer, and the water comes from the Koyokuk River that goes through the town, and the two lodging options here, which are a good alternative to the horrible hotel at Coldfoot, there's one called the Boreal Lodge and the Arctic Getaway Cabin and Breakfast. Here we rented the whole cabin on the way back for $200 a night. In the morning, the owners treated us to breakfast at what used to be the old saloon of the town, which is now like the lobby, is like a common area of the lodge. And the breakfast was delicious, consisted of eggs and sourdough pancakes. I can still taste that. I think they even had the old piano, the old honky-tonk piano from the saloon. Very cool. From here, you will continue north into the Brooks Range, the Continental Divide, as I mentioned. At mile marker 204, you will encounter Sukukpak Mountain. By the way, this mountain is beautiful. I think it's like a granite mountain. It's a different color, lighter than the rest of the mountains, and has no vegetation. It's very, very iconic. You cannot miss it. By the way, around this area, there are also a bunch of creeks, and it's great. They have a bunch of places to stop, and you can stop, stretch your legs, dip your feet in the cold water. They told me not to drink the water because it could have bacteria, but it was very refreshing just to walk on the water, you know, cross the creek. You know, they have the pebbles and on the bottom of the creek, and very shallow, so you can just take a break at these creeks. As we continue north, you will see less and less trees. And what I've read is that this far north, there is not enough sunlight for photosynthesis to take place. So large trees do not survive. In fact, at mile marker 235, you will find the last spruce tree. There is even a pullout and a sign where you can take a picture with the highway's northernmost spruce tree. We have been gaining elevation at this point steadily for a couple of miles. However, there is a break at mile marker 238, and that's the Chandler Shelf. Around here, there's a very high avalanche risk, you know, risk of avalanches in the winter. And the Department of Transportation, what they do, they have artillery guns that they use to provoke avalanches. So they just shoot at the mountain and, you know, they provoke the avalanche. And this way, the avalanches don't happen at random and, you know, and bury any vehicles, you know, any trucks coming north. In the summer, by the way, there is no chance of avalanches, but in the winter, you could very well be at the wrong place at the wrong time and get buried. That's why they do this to prevent it. You keep going north and you will go through the Arrigan Pass, 4,739 feet in altitude, and it is the highest point in the highway and the Continental Divide. You may encounter some wildlife up here in the form of doll sheep, very cute sheep, you know, going up and down the mountains. After this, the only way is down. By the way, all throughout this area, you will encounter the most beautiful, the most breathtaking landscapes. And the mountains will have snow, probably, even in late June. They certainly did when we went, when we were there. And that was June 23rd, 24th, actually, at this point. From here, down and down we go. The only way is down. And we see beautiful views of the North Slope. I mean, you can imagine. You will also see the pipeline next to you all the time, or pretty much all the way throughout the highway. At milepost 275, you will encounter Galbraith Lake. And from here, you see also great views of the Brooks mountain range, you know, looking back south in the distance. And here there's also a place where you can camp. There is a campground. We didn't see any RVs, but we see a bunch of people tent camping. So it's right next to an airport that I don't think is in use nowadays. But keep that in mind. You may be able to camp here. This is the last place probably where I would have an RV north of here, unless you have something really rugged. North of here is really the worst part of the road. I don't think I would recommend this part of the road for any type of RV, just because of how rough it is. You know, very big, rough gravel, and I would be afraid the RV would actually fall apart in these kinds of conditions. Very, very bad. Actually, we were going maybe 20 miles per hour with our Ford Escape 4x4 that we rented. So yeah, with an RV, I wouldn't go much norther than Galbraith Lake. I mean, road conditions may have improved along the years, but I don't know. The landscape, to be honest, in this part is not all that pretty. It is surreal, but not textbook pretty. You know, it's rolling hills and there's no vegetation. It's just like grass. You know, the Windows XP default screensaver? That's what it looks like. You know, you are driving through the tundra, through the rolling hills of the North Slope. And then the last 60 miles is just the Northern Plains, a very flat with very few places to pull out. Really, it's just a mad dash all the way to Dead Horse. That being said, if you have a capable tow vehicle or a towed, by all means, you drove this far, might as well go all the way. The temperature drops significantly in this area, and it could be freezing even in the summer. Here you will also have the most wildlife, and most in the form of caribou. There's a caribou herd that, by the way, they have the right of way, and very often they cross the road. There's also musk oxen, which is this hairy creature. It kind of looks like a buffalo from far away. To the right, you will see the Franklin Bluffs, and that means that we are almost at our destination. There's a lot of Fata Morgana, you know, that kind of mirage effect that you see in the desert because of the difference in temperature between the ground and the air. I don't know exactly all the science behind it, but that's what I read. Our destination is the company town of Dead Horse, Alaska, mile marker 414. Congratulations! We've reached the end of the Dalton. There are some accommodations here, but nothing fancy, more or less the same as in Coldfoot. But we do have cell phone service for the first time in the whole trip, even 4G data. Well, the data service is hit or miss, but we can call home and it works fine. We've made it all the way up here, might as well go all the way up to the Arctic Ocean, just a couple of miles north. But in order to do that, you do have to take a tour. You have to book a tour. That is because it is private property, which belongs to the oil companies. the tour is pretty nice. You know, they try to do a good job explaining the operations and life in general at this latitude, and what they're doing to protect the environment and save the polar bears. But all this is an excuse for you to see the Arctic Ocean for about 20 minutes. I wish it was longer, but all they give you is 20 minutes. So you take a selfie, dip your feet in the freezing cold water, and if you are a brave soul, which I'm not, join the Polar Bear Club by immersing yourself in the frigid water of the Arctic. There's nothing else to do in this town, which, by the way, it is a dry town. No alcoholic beverages are sold here. But there is a nicely stocked general store if you need anything, and a small self-service gas station. And you better fill up, because it is the only gas station you are going to see for the next 240 miles, same way as on the way north. Yep, we're just going to turn around and head south. But even though we're going to go through basically the same area, it kind of feels different because you are looking towards it from the opposite direction. So make sure you stop at all the places you thought were cool on the way north and you didn't stop because you didn't have time or whatever. And it is the trip south, I think, is as enjoyable as the trip north. By the way, up there in cold foot in the Arctic Ocean, do stay up late and enjoy the midnight sun, which is a surreal experience, because it is going to be midnight or 1 a.m. and you see the sun going horizontally on the southern horizon. And even though it is midnight, it feels like it's 5 p.m., you know. Yeah, it was a very cool experience up there. And I actually spoke to some of the Inuit people who live there, and that's their environment, and to them, that is normal. You know, there are almost 3 months of sunlight in this latitude. Of course, there's also the same equal amount of time where it's nighttime all the time. Even though, even as far south as Wiseman, I was talking to the owners of the hotel. We had a very nice conversation over breakfast. And they were telling me that in the dead of winter, there's like a little a bit of glare on the southern sky, but that's all they see all winter. The sun never actually comes up. But you know, I would love to spend the winter or part of the winter in this area. It is the time of the year where you see the aurora borealis, you know, the northern lights, and that's a spectacle that I would love to see at least once in my life. Well, I hope you have enjoyed our virtual tour of America's most isolated highway. The song of the week, well, there is no song of the week, no tune of the week. I've made two short pieces of music. The first one, I originally did it for the video as we were cruising in the car around Fairbanks at around 12:30 under the midnight sun. Well, the sun had set, but it wasn't dark by any means. The second piece of music is called Grayling Lake, and it goes together with that part of the video, you know, Grayling Lake. Before we go, if you like what we are doing here, please do remember to go to iTunes and leave us a review in the iTunes store. That really helps other people find the podcast, and we get more listeners and a bigger community. And please do remember to leave me your feedback, robert@travelingrobert.com, or send us a voicemail. Also, remember that I have a YouTube channel where I have videos, very nice videos of all these road trips that I've done since we own our own RV, and even some trips before we had the RV. We also have trips in Europe, in Canada. We have also gone south of the border to Mexico and many other places. I even many years ago visited my birthplace, Cuba, and all those videos are there. And if you have any questions about the RV lifestyle, you know, the encyclopedia is livingthervdream.com, a John Huggins site. He has all kinds of information about the lifestyle and the types of RVs and the safety, that everything is there. So, livingthervdream.com, that's John and Kathy Huggins' site. Until next week, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV. Yeah, I'm riding with my RV, wherever I wanna be, 'cause I'm riding with my RV.